True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Rico Bronya's presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Tito's Handmade Vodka is America's favorite vodka for a reason. From the first legal distillery in Texas, Tito's is 6 times distilled till it's just right. And naturally gluten-free, making it a high-quality spirit that mixes with just about anything. From the smoothest martinis to the best Bloody Marys, Tito's is known for giving back, teaming up with nonprofits to serve its communities and do good for dogs. Make your next cocktail with Tito's. Distilled and bottled by 5th Generation Inc., Austin, Texas. 40% alcohol by volume. Savor responsibly.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Welcome back to a location we've been in many times in our lives. Welcome to Panic City. It's a Panic City edition of Rico Bronya. As the New York Mets lose the first 2 games to the Philadelphia Phillies, they are on a 4-game losing streak, and they are now in a legitimate wild card race. The idea that this was going to be easy, this idea that they were going to cruise to a playoff spot, September was going to be boring because, they're not winning the NL East, but don't worry, they're going to make the playoffs. Right now, it doesn't appear that way because the Mets are welcoming in both the Giants and the Reds into a legitimate postseason race. We will break down these 2 games. I'm going to read a lot of depressing emails. We will do our best to have a nice, open, and honest therapy session around the Mets' recent struggles, as they have now lost 4 in a row, and they got absolutely punked by Ranger Suarez, Kyle Schwarber, and the Philadelphia Phillies on a Tuesday night. But I want to start off with something that we all just need to accept. We need to accept that the 2025 regular season was a disappointment. Nothing is going to change that over the final 17 games. It is what it is. The regular season was not what we hoped for. That's just the bottom line. Because with 17 games left, for them to match my win total. Now, I had a very conservative Met win total coming into the year. I thought they would win the exact same amount of games as last year. That number is 89. For the Mets to get to that number, they have to go 13-4. I've got a spoiler alert for you. They're not going 13-4. That's not happening. So the Mets, despite adding Juan Soto, despite raised expectations, are going to finish with a worse record than last year. That's the bottom line. Bottom line number two is, if they make the playoffs, which is now becoming an if, they're going to be the third wildcard team, much like last year. We love to play the game of, well, if I told you at the beginning of the season, blah, 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 blah. Well, let's play that very briefly. If I told you at the beginning of the season, the Mets are going to be the third wildcard team, they will, by mid-September, be dead in the National League East. And they're going to win somewhere in the mid to high 80s. You would say, all right, we made the playoffs. You never know. Maybe they get hot. But you would say that was a disappointing regular season. So what we have to accept is this has been a disappointing regular season, and nothing's going to change that. There's nothing they can do over the next few weeks to end this season that would make anybody say differently than this regular season was a massive disappointment. Okay, get that out of the way. The NL East is over. To me, it's been obvious for a while, but to some, they still held out hope. The NL East is over. It was not even a pennant race in September. And now it's about clawing and surviving. That's step number one. Step number one is, I don't care how ugly this thing gets, and it may get uglier, they have to find a way to survive and make the playoffs. Because if they don't, and you're going to hear in the emails, I'm getting bombarded with people who legitimately do not think the Mets are going to make the playoffs. I know Hoff's one of them. We'll get to his opinion in a minute. But if they don't make the playoffs, and this isn't sports talk radio hyperbole, this is honest Met fan to honest Met fan. If they miss the playoffs, it will be worse than 2007. It will be. May not be the same collapse in terms of sheer amount of games, but in terms of expectations, roster, playoff situation in baseball, who they would lose out to, because one of the teams chasing them sold. One of the teams chasing them acquired one of the Mets' young sort of prospects, called him up, and he's been performing. If that's how the Mets miss the playoffs, and it really doesn't matter who the team is, but the Giants certainly add an exclamation point, I don't know how anyone could argue it wouldn't be worse than 2007 or 2008. Now, with that said, despite what happened on Tuesday night, in which the Mets got punked by Ranger Suarez, Kyle Schwarber, and the crew, despite losing a heartbreaking 1-0 game, despite all that, I'm going to look into everybody's eyes, or if you're listening, you're going to hear this straight up until I don't feel this way. The Mets are going to make the playoffs. I am not despondent enough, despite these losses, to think they're actually going to complete this epic collapse and finish behind either Cincinnati, San Francisco, or, dare I say, Arizona, St. Louis. I don't believe that. Now, what would give me concern is, and I've said this a lot, and it remains true, they haven't played good baseball in months. And that is concerning. Their recent decent spells, like when they called up Nolan McLain after the horrible loss on Friday night against the Mariners, and they responded by winning over the weekend. And then what happens? They lose 2 out of 3 to the Nationals, but they win 2 out of 3 against Atlanta, and they sweep Philadelphia. That hot stretch, if you want to call it that, it's kind of been fleeting. Because every time they do something good, like beat the Mariners 2 out of 3, they lose to the Nationals. They sweep the Philadelphia Phillies after winning 2 out of 3 against Atlanta. They lose 2 out of 3 to Miami. Then you see them win a series in Detroit, damn impressive, on this long road trip that never ends. And they've responded by, after surviving against the opener against Cincinnati, putting together a 4-game losing streak. They have had no level of sustained success since early June. And that's troubling. I can't deny that. The reason I'm confident that the Mets are going to make the playoffs has a lot to do with the teams around them. Like, the Giants are playing great baseball. I don't know if they're going to complete this and finish at 86 wins. So my confidence is more about the mediocrity of the teams around them than a belief in the Mets. Because the Mets are challenging us all. Why do we believe? Why would anybody believe? This is an offense that finally showed what we thought they would be. And they've responded over the last few days by getting absolutely shut down. And while I wanted to give Hunter Green a lot of credit because he was dominant on Sunday, I'm not giving Brady Singer credit for Saturday. I'm not giving Aaron Nola credit for Monday. Like, what are we going to do every single night? Now you got to tip your hat. Ranger Suarez is a tough customer. He should not have struck out 12 guys in six innings. Can't happen. So before we dive deeper, I want to let you know that I still believe this team's going to be a playoff team. But most people in the email do not. For example, Walter writes, Evan and Pete, the season is over. The team is dead. I have been watching them all year, and the only consistent thing about them is their inconsistency. The starting pitching has sucked since the middle of June. The bullpen has sucked all year long, except for Edwin Diaz. The team has not hit most of the year. Then there's the defense, which seems to go on vacation at times. This team does nothing good. But the thing that infuriates me the most is watching games like tonight, Tuesday night, game two, and seeing Lindor and Soto smiling and laughing. Lindor was smiling after popping out in the seventh, and Soto is always laughing and joking in the dugout while the team plays uncompetitive baseball. How about showing some urgency and acting like the games you play matter instead of goofing off? Oh, wait, I know why they're laughing. They're laughing at how much the Mets are stupidly paying them because that's all they care about, especially Soto. This team has no accountability. If they did, then players would be at least benched like Vientos should be after that last lazy play. This starts at the top with Stearns. There's no accountability for his piss-poor offseason moves and dreadful trade deadline moves. There's no accountability for Mendoza and the horrible decisions he's made this year. Case in point, leaving Hagenman in to blow this game up, which is one of the many poor pitching decisions. A couple of things I do want to disagree with. Number one, I do not think their season is over. Number two, I do not think their team is dead. Number three, I agree. Their starting pitching has been incredibly inconsistent since June. And you're right. When you define 2025, it's marveling at how inconsistent they have been. I'm not going to get nuts about players smiling. John Franco would smile after he blew a save. Not because he was happy, not because he didn't care, but some people just, when they're upset, when they're frustrated, they smile. Lindor would not be the first. And Francisco Lindor, who has also been incredibly streaky, has been awful in this series. He is 0 for 7 with a walk, and if you go back to the Cincinnati series, he was 0 for 4 in the finale of that. So after he began the Cincinnati series by getting on base constantly to where he was a legitimate candidate for the Rico I'm the Man Now star of the series, look how he's responded. He's responded by going 0 for his last 12. So I think the smiling is frustration. But I read that email to touch on a few things from game two of this series, a game that the Mets lost, a game that they were behind 2-0 before your ass could be comfortable, 4-0 before you could be even more comfortable. Number one, this is for Juan Soto. I love the fact that Juan Soto has added the stolen base to his resume. I think it's great. And I think a lot of his stolen bases have been important and have led directly to Met runs. And for that, it's a great thing that he has added to him and added to his game. He's made himself an even more complete player by stealing bases. We talked a few Ricos ago. He may have to pipe down a little bit, not get caught stealing, not be super aggressive, and he's got to pick his spots. So I want to commend Juan Soto for the stolen bases. Anyone who tells you they're mostly empty stolen bases is not paying attention. With that said, his last stolen base to get to number 30 was horrible optics. It was horrible optics. And Keith Hernandez called it out. I thought it immediately as I saw him running, even though Gary Cohen said Siri's trying to steal third. I think he was as frustrated as all of us. And as Juan Soto slid in, my thought was, what's the point of that? I'm not giving up in a game in which you're down 9-2. I don't believe in that, or 7-2 or 7-1 or whatever the heck the score was at that point in the game. Actually, I could tell you what the score was at that point in the game. Let me look at my scorecard. 4-1, 7-1.
7-2.
It was 7-2, correct. He had just driven in a run. I'm not ripping him because I want him to give up. I don't want him to give up. A game is never over. There's no clock in baseball. But you have to ask yourself, with two outs and first and second, you're already in scoring position. What's the point? What was the point of that stolen base? And the problem for Juan is that there are going to be people out there, probably our last emailer, and a lot of people listening right now, who are going to look at that and say, you're just a stat patter. You don't care that the team is losing, and turn it into something even bigger than it is. I don't believe I'm turning it into anything bigger than it is. I'm just calling it like it is. It was a bad optic. You allow people irrationally to look at that decision you made and that stolen base and kill you 10 ways to Thursday. And so I'm just going to look at this from a baseball perspective. I'm a simple man. It's a 7-2 game, and there's two outs with 2-1 in the eighth inning. And Carlos Mendoza after the game says, well, he made it. You're damn right he made it. I mean, if he didn't make it and he was caught stealing, I mean, this may sound crazy to do to a guy making over $700 million. I would have benched his ass. Are you kidding? If he was caught, if he was out at third base, down by 5 runs in the eighth inning. And by the way, I'm not that much of a tough guy. I would have benched him for the bottom of the eighth. Because God knows the Mets need him. But the best way I would describe Juan Soto stealing third base in the eighth inning was it was horrible optics. It wasn't a smart baseball decision, and it makes him look bad. Now, after the game, I made sure, before we did this, Rico, to hear what he had to say, to hear what Mendy had to say, to hear what Manaea had to say, because there's a lot to digest from game two of this series. And Juan Soto was never pressed, at least what was shown on SNY, about, hey, that's a bad look. It was more, wow, you're stealing a lot of bases. That's awesome. What does 30-30 mean to you? What would 40-30 mean to you? And I will say that Juan had the right approach with, I've worked hard on it. I give Anton Richardson a lot of credit, and it's all about winning games. So he said all the right things. He didn't say anything badly, at least from what I saw, after the game. But as someone that, and I pride myself, I don't think I make a big deal out of stupid things. Now, maybe you disagree in the audience. You may have heard me for many years and say, no, you made a big deal out of that, and that was stupid. The only thing I can promise you is I'm just telling you how I honestly feel. Down 7-2 in the eighth inning, it was a bad look. So let's get that out of the way. Now, let me get to Mark Vientos. Mark Vientos right now, to his credit, is one of the few guys who is showing a goddamn pulse offensively. He hit a double on Monday, and we'll get much more into game one in a little bit. He hit a double that should have tied the game against one of the best closers in baseball. He then has a really good second inning at bat that nobody's going to remember because Nimmo and Marte struck out back to back and Alvarez flied out. He then hit a home run in the seventh inning, which down 4-0, you know, briefly made you think and say, okay, the Mets are coming back. Mark Vientos also made a great diving play against Nicholas Castellanos in the sixth inning, again, when the game was still reasonably close. I say all of that to remind every single person in the freaking audience that Mark Vientos right now, of all the guys out there, is actually playing reasonably good baseball. And the Mets need Mark Vientos out there. Now that I got that out of the way, what he pulled in the seventh inning of this game cannot happen. And he's got to clean this crap up. There is one out and nobody on, and Bryson Stott hits a ground ball to third base. It is the easiest play in the world. And I don't even know if it was Mark Vientos being lazy. I don't think that's the right word. I think he just didn't understand what was happening in the moment. And in the moment, you have a base runner or a batter who's now running to first base who's busting his ass, and he's fast, and you can't take your time. And Mark Vientos took just enough time. Those are the kinds of mistakes that will kill you. Those are the kinds of mistakes that will lose you a playoff game and will lose you a playoff series. Did it lose them this game? It didn't lose them this game, but it ended this game. Because instead of it being two outs and nobody on for Otto Lopez, and who knows, I can't predict the future. If I assume everything stays the same, Justin Hagenman gets him out, and it's a 1-2-3 seventh inning, and it's 4-1 going into the eighth inning, and who knows? I don't know what happens. Do the Mets come back? Probably not. But it's baseball. But instead, because Vientos took just enough time to allow Bryson Stott to beat it out, it allowed Harrison Bader to come up. Harrison Bader, I'm not sure you guys are familiar with Harrison Bader. When he sees the New York Mets, he's Ty freaking Cobb. That's who Harrison Bader is. Just call him Ty Cobb, because that's who he is now that he faces the Mets. That's who he was when he was in Minnesota. That's who he is once he was traded to the Phillies in one of the most predictable swerves you could ever find. Harrison Bader is torturing the New York Mets. He's killing them. It's almost becoming comical. When he got the base hit in the eighth inning, and that was the last RBI of the game, I actually started laughing. I was like, this is hysterical. Good job, David Stearns. Got to keep Tyrone Taylor over Harrison Bader. Or better yet, you traded for Cedric Mullins instead of Harrison Bader. There are many transaction decisions that David Stearns made that we're going to kill during the offseason, Ricos, that we are going to go analyze with a fine-tooth comb. But it is in your face when Cedric Mullins can't play baseball because Mendy realizes he can't play him anymore, and Harrison Bader is leading off and getting three hits and hitting .590 against the Mets. It's almost comical. But that mistake by Vientos allowed Bader to come up. And then other things lead to the game slipping away, like Hagenman's ahead of him 0-2. He gives up a base hit. He falls behind Kyle Schwarber, and you all knew the result. You knew. When he fell behind Kyle Schwarber 3-1, it was just take your pick. Either he's hitting a grand slam, or you're going to walk him, and Bryce Harper's actually going to wake up and do something. But all of that was created by a mistake by Mark Vientos. And if the Mets are going to make the playoffs, or dare I say the Mets are in the playoffs, you can't make mistakes like that. Vientos had a good...
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Good defensive day until he didn't. Those things I mentioned are on the back end of the game. Now, it's kind of after the game felt almost over in a lot of ways. What killed him at the beginning is not just Sean Manaea, who I'll get to. It's the fact that Ranger Suarez, who's good. I admit Ranger Suarez is good. He cannot be this good. And if you're the Mets, you cannot get mowed down in the most lifeless way possible. And then when they actually put a rally together in the fifth inning because Brandon Nimmo smoked the base hit against them, here comes Starling Marte, who's also becoming borderline unplayable because he hasn't hit in a while, get ahead of the count 2-0 and hit the easiest double play in the world. And then after two quality at-bats against Suarez in the fifth inning, back-to-back walks by Alvarez and McNeil, both decent at-bats, Jose Siri, welcome back, Jose Siri, we did not miss you, strikes out.
On Tuesday, August 26th, it's FanDuel Futures Day, a new holiday for football fans. It's 24 hours of deals on all your football season predictions. So take a flyer on the MVP race. Who's your pick for the crown? You think it'll be Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes? Who do you think's going to win the Super Bowl? You going Eagles? You going Chiefs? You going someone else? You could also parlay your division winner dark horses. Mark your calendars. This is your day for your hunches, your hot takes, your calls, and your odds. Visit the FanDuel app today and start playing your futures bets now, because Future Day is one day and one day only. FanDuel, play your game.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we've essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can find options that fit your budget and potentially lower your bills. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
By the way, my tablet's going off because I said Siri. That's the most annoying part about him. If we say his last name, things around our house start exploding. But the Met offense, the LD Met offense, as it's affectionately known, after getting shut down by the incredibly mediocre Aaron Nola, back it up by doing nothing over the first six innings. So I want to start with that before I get to Manaea, because it would be nice to see this Met offense jump out early. It'd be nice to see Juan Soto hit the ball against Ranger Suarez, which he was unable to do, 0-for-3 with three strikeouts. Or Pete Alonso to hit the ball against Ranger Suarez, 0-for-3 with three strikeouts. And if the Met offense wasn't incredibly LD the day before and shut down the day before that and shut down the day before that, maybe I'd be more angry at Sean Manaea than I would be the Met offense, which all of a sudden, after being red, red hot, has cooled off. Now, let me get to Manaea, because this is where I'm going to give you some hope. I actually believe Sean Manaea may have turned the corner. I wanted to say it. You could curse me out. I think I have proven over the first 20 minutes of the Rico, I'm not overly positive. I do think they'll still make the playoffs, but I'm ripping everything apart. Sean Manaea giving up the two runs in the first inning was an absolute kick in the groin. He's got two outs and nobody on, works a full count to Bryce Harper, gives up a clean base hit. Hitting JT Realmuto, problem. Getting ahead of Nick Castellanos 1-2 and then hanging one up for him to rip into the left field corner, absolutely sucked. And it was typical of the continuous Sean Manaea struggles. And considering the way the Mets have hit, like we described, that Castellanos double made you feel like, wow, the game's over in the first inning. And obviously what happened in the second inning, and it could have been worse if not for the caught stealing that got overruled when Manaea picked off Bryson Stott. He gives up a home run to Otto Kemp, of all people. And then, of course, Harrison Ty Cobb-Bader. And at that point, it's 4-0. And yeah, it feels like it's over. It feels like Sean Manaea needs to be out of this rotation immediately. And all is horrible with the world. But what I do think matters is what happened next. And I'm going to take a leap of faith here. There's a chance I'm going to be dead wrong. I'll own it here on the Rico. But when Carlos Mendoza pulled him down to the tunnel, and I don't know what he said to him. According to Mendy, it was just to, you know, he saw the body language. He saw that he was down on himself after giving up the two home runs, the back-to-backers to Otto Kemp and Harrison Bader. And he gave him a pep talk. And Manaea, what he said after the game, and he actually said it even before asked specifically about what Mendy told him. He basically said, my attitude was screw it. That's what Sean Manaea said. And by screw it, he meant, screw it. This isn't working. That isn't working. Screw it. Now, I don't know what that actually means other than he had an attitude change. He had a screw it change. And whether it was Mendy saying something to him or not, Sean Manaea was very strong over the next three innings. And that counts for something. It's why all five-inning, four-run performances don't count the same to me. You have to watch a game. He did everything he could in the third inning, 1-2-3 inning, fourth inning, 1-2-3 inning, working around a leadoff walk to the ninth place hitter. He kept them in the game. He gave the offense a shot to get back in it. I'm not waxing poetic about five innings, four runs. I'm telling you there was something hopeful out of his performance. He finished strong. He gave you his answer, the whole screw it thing. And Carlos Mendoza basically confirmed he's making another start. He wasn't non-committal the way he was with Kodai Senga. He said multiple times, we need him. And, you know, I've said this before on the Rico with maybe a base hit late in the game or a home run late in the game with a slumping player that maybe this can lead to something. Well, I'm going to say it now about Sean Manaea. It may be the only positive thing I say, but I believe he's going to turn it around now. Now, maybe not to the point where he's pitching to a 2-2 ERA, but I think and I hope, and he doesn't have that much time because how many starts does he have left, especially if they're going to run with a six-man rotation, I think that maybe something clicked at the end of the second inning. With that said, he gave up four runs. And with this offense, it's not good enough. So was it a good enough performance? No. But he kept them in the game. He gave them five innings. And Carlos Mendoza made a decision. And that decision was after he got a clean inning out of Justin Hagenman, in which he was lucky because Mark Vientos made a diving play. In the bottom of the seventh inning of a 4-1 game, Mendy made a decision. He knows he doesn't have an off day. He knows that. No off date on Monday. He said, I'm going to value keeping my bullpen fresh in a game I'm down by three runs more so than keeping the game close. That was the decision he made. And it obviously turned into a horrible decision because with the help of the Vientos miscue we talked about, he gives up a three-run home run to Kyle Schwarber. And by that point, F it. No, to quote Sean Manaea, screw it, keep him in the game. But that was the Mendy decision that is sort of frustrating. Now, the question you could ask is, which guy in the bullpen are you going to that you actually trust? They used Soto, Raleigh, and Helsley the day before. Do you go to Reed Garrett for his second performance since coming off the IL? I think so. Why not? If you believe in your offense, Carlos, if you believe this team is going to show fight, and he said the word fight 500 times in his post-game press conference, then why wouldn't you give your team a chance to fight by putting in a competent reliever, or at least more so a competent reliever than Justin Hagenman, who with all due respect is nothing more than a Pete Hoffman look-alike quadruple A player? No offense, Hoff. So that was his miscue. But overall, they didn't hit until it was too late. The Fugazi rallies of the eighth and ninth inning. Manaea may have found something, but it was too late. And they made defensive miscues that cannot happen. And you boil it all together, and the Philadelphia Phillies are partying on our grave in the National League East. Now, before we get to a lot of issues I have from game one, Pete Hoffman, how are you feeling?
I mean, I basically, last night I was doing a WFAN Daily podcast, and I basically like came to the eureka moment that this is going to end poorly, and we're in trouble, and Mets fans are in trouble. And it was basically watching the dead performance from yesterday, and then looking through their schedule and being like, the Giants are right on their tail. The Phillies are going to get revenge on us from what we did with them, you know, last series where we swept them, where the Mets swept them. This is setting up to be going into the following series tied up at the wild card because the Giants are making a run here. And I am, maybe it's because in the past, Mets fans have had this hurt, had this feeling so many times before. I want to cushion it and just do it now, get out of the way so that when the collapse does happen, I'm like, I was there already. I can't be hurt anymore. You can't hurt me because I already hurt myself. But I got to be honest, man, like this sucks. This is the slowest car crash I've ever seen in my entire life, and I'm tired of it. It's sickening. And I don't see, here's the thing is, you could tell me about any other team that they don't have an easy schedule. There's how many games left? There's 17 games left. Tell me how they're going to win more than three games.
More than three games?
Yeah.
I could tell you easily. You think they're going to go 3-14? Is that what you're now telling me? What, are you Frank the Tank?
Yeah. I got to be honest with you. Evan, this is setting up for an epic collapse. We finished the season with Miami. We think that they're going to be an easy team. No chance. They love to stick it up our ass. The Nationals, that's the team that we should be sweeping. We have trouble with them. But then you have two other teams that are in a playoff hunt. The Rangers are fighting for playoffs. The Cubs, they always stick it up our, you know what, as well. The Padres are in a playoff race as well. Like, the only thing I got to say is this. Besides the Philly series, they swept the Philly series. Give me another time where the Mets had to win this season, like needed a desperate win.
Well, they haven't. I mean, this has been a weird season. I don't think they've played games they've needed to win all year. I mean, honestly, like they got off to a great start, and I don't think the NL East is needed. I would have liked to have won the NL East. I remember us talking about that at the beginning of the year. I'm not going to act like I'm not disappointed. I am. But they haven't needed to win any game this season. And I think a part of that's the nature of baseball. But we're getting closer to where they are going to have to need to start winning games because their lead in the wild card race is diminishing. I think they're going to win more than three of their last 17. And let me give you a little hint of advice, because I have sat there through some of the worst defeats as a Met fan and certainly of the other teams I root for. Setting yourself up for disaster by explaining the worst to yourself doesn't make you feel better. Like, I mean, I'm thinking of horrible losses. The AFC Championship game against the Steelers. I walked into that building with Joe Beningo. Joe's cousin gave me a cigar, and he said, we're going to smoke this after we are going to the Super Bowl. And I mentally thought of all the different ways we were going to lose. Little did I know how they would lose. No show the first half, ferocious comeback, and then Bruce Arians dropped like some brilliant third and five play to a rookie named Antonio Brown. Like, I didn't see it all happening. It didn't make me feel better. When the Nets played game seven against the Bucks, I thought of every way they were going to lose game seven. When they did, by a centimeter, it didn't make me feel better. In 2008, after the collapse of 07, because I never thought they were collapsing in 07. I was on the air first year doing middays with Joe. Never thought they'd collapse. But after they did collapse, of course, the next year I was expecting the same thing. It doesn't make you feel better. So what I'm trying to do is just be honest. You're saying, I only think this because I'm expecting the worst that's going to make me feel better. Do you honestly think the Mets are going to go 3-14 in their last 17 games?
I don't think they're going to go 3-14. That's a little bit over the top, but I don't think they're making the playoffs, Ev. I'm being genuine on. Well, I got a bad feeling.
I don't think you're crazy anymore to say that because it's no longer a lock. I mean, their deficit or their lead, I should say, has shrunk by the day. We've explained the tiebreaker situation. The Giants have to pass the Mets, but nevertheless, the Reds don't, and they're both equivalently behind the Mets right now, and the Mets are going to have to win some games. Like, they're going to have to in these last 17 games, and I'm not sure what it is. Like, is 10-7 the magic number that gets them in? I don't know, because if you're right, and the Giants, who have won, I think it's 13 out of 15 or whatever the numbers are, if that continues, then it would take more than just 10 out of 17. But we all have to be honest with ourselves. It's obviously now a possibility the Mets are going to miss the playoffs. I'm not joining you in feeling it's going to happen, but it's certainly possible. But you're not alone, because Igor writes why the Mets will miss the playoffs. Evan, it doesn't look good, and I'm going to give you a huge reason why the Mets will miss the postseason, the Marlins series. We just swept the Phillies. We have all the momentum. We go out and lay an absolute egg against the Marlins on a Friday night. We end up losing 3 out of 4. But that's not the worst part. Let's take a look at the Marlins' record in their last 14 games. They lost the last two games to Atlanta in the series before the Mets by a combined score of 23-3. They then take 3 out of 4 from us. They then get swept and outscored 17-7 by the Nationals. Then they lose 2 out of 3 to the Phillies. And now they've lost the first two to the Nationals, again being outscored 22-12. So to recap, 3-1 versus the Mets, 1-9 versus everyone else. And this is why, in the end, the Mets will miss the playoffs. That does not prove anything. It just, you know what it proves? It proves that the Mets find ways to get crappy teams hot, like they did the Pirates earlier this season when the Pirates swept them and they were having a season that was going nowhere. JJ writes, guys, watching Mendoza's postgame, and I have just about enough with this team this year. I'm tired of hearing the same horses tee over and over. Continue to battle, making opportunities. We've been through this before. What the hell is he watching? These guys are showing no heart or fight. Zero fundamentals at the plate. I'm sorry, but this offense has to be broken apart next year. There are no contact hitters on this team. Nimmo, McNeil, Big Ass Pete. Sad thing is Nimmo used to be a contact hitter who walked until some moron changed his approach. Move them out. They're not cohesive. Alex is pissed off about the laughing. Soto, Marte, and Siri laughing in the dugout all night as they get their asses kicked by the Philadelphia Phillies. Listen, I think sometimes these cameras will catch people laughing. It doesn't mean they don't care. It really doesn't. I don't get on that. Now, let me get to game one. Because, you know, I don't want to waste my anger at Carlos Mendoza on the decision to keep Hagenman in a game in which they're down by 3 runs. The biggest problem is the way Carlos Mendoza managed the 8th inning of Monday's game. I am still fuming about this, and I apologize. Part of the reason we didn't do a Rico after that game, and it was certainly a Rico-worthy game, is these games start early, so I'm on DVR. It was a late night. I didn't get the game done till I don't even know what time. It was late, and the football game was on. I'm sorry. We knew we were doing a Tuesday Rico, so we at least got that for you. But I got a lot of things to say about Monday. Besides the fact the Met offense did dick, which is obvious, let me get to the 8th inning, because I do not understand what the heck Carlos Mendoza was doing. So just to refresh your memory, Nolan McClain gives up a single run on an RBI hit to Nick Castellanos, and then does a wonderful job battling in and out of trouble until finally he's pulled in the 6th inning, and then the Met bullpen does a great job getting out of trouble. It's the 8th inning, and Matt Strom is on the mound, the left-hander. The Mets are due to send up Beatty, Mullins, and Lindor. Number one, Mullins shouldn't have even been playing. You want to know why? Because he stinks. Because he hasn't hit a lick since he's gotten here. He's showing no signs of life. And oh, by the way, in the 5th inning of this game, after Beatty drew a leadoff walk, They ask him to bunt. Thank God that they did, because God knows we don't want him to hit. And what does he do? He bunts the ball in the air for a foul pop-up. I mean, embarrassing. Epically, epically embarrassing. So we're in the eighth inning. There's a lefty on the mound. Again, it's Beatty and it's Mullins. Very simple how this thing should be managed. And I'm stunned that Carlos Mendoza decided on a Monday night to just change everything. You let Brett Beatty hit because he's been on base twice already in this game. You let Brett Beatty hit because even though his numbers against lefties aren't great, he's serviceable. Like, if you look at his...
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Splits lefty right. He's better against righties. No one's arguing that, but he's a competitive at bat as a lefty or versus a lefty. He's not someone, especially when I only have three righty bats on my bench. Two of them are not offensive players and one switch hitter who can't bat right-handed. I'm not equipped to pinch hit for Brett Beatty. I'm equipped to pinch hit for Cedric Mullins. Not because it's lefty-lefty, because again, Mullins has hit lefties. No, I'm pinch hitting for Cedric Mullins because he stinks. So Beatty needs to hit. And then if you want to pinch hit for Mullins, which you should, the only right-handed bat that you should have any confidence in is Starling Marte, despite his recent slump. Hayden Sanger is a backup catcher. Ronnie Mauricio cannot hit lefties. And let me explain this about Luis Angel Acuña. Now, card subject to change. Will I say something differently about him next year? Maybe, probably not. He's here for two reasons. Two reasons. And they're valuable reasons, and I'm glad he's on the roster. He's here to pinch run, and he's here to play defense. I don't give a crap what he did for 1 week last year in September. He doesn't hit. He doesn't hit. He's barely been in the major leagues. They recently called him back. He's not a hitter. He is not a better option than Brett Beatty. And while Acuña didn't pinch hit for Brett Beatty, he kind of did. Because if Beatty hits, Marte is hitting for Mullins, not Acuña. I did not understand it. Like, I literally thought that Brett Beatty got hurt. It's the only thing I could think of. Pinch hitting for Brett Beatty against Matt Strom was the biggest mistake, and it set down this evil ball of crap that would now occur because it led to other things that I didn't know was going to happen. I didn't see the future, but I knew that you didn't use Acuna as a pinch hitter in the eighth inning. So obviously, Marte comes up, pinch hitting for Beatty, cannot happen, foul pops up. Acuna, pinch hitting for Mullins, good at bat, flies out to center field. So you get nothing out of using your two right-handed bats on the bench. Lindor puts together a good at-bat, the one good at-bat he's had in Philadelphia. Soto comes up, 1-0, chance to be a hero, Juan Soto moment, gets ahead of the count, gets robbed of a base hit. Sucks. I get it. Your stars didn't perform. But those two moves you need to keep in mind in the ninth inning. Because in the ninth inning, when Pete Alonso leads off with a base hit, if Luis Angel Acuna was being used for his real role, not as a pinch hitter, but as a pinch runner, he's on first with nobody out in a 1-0 game.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And a few things could have happened. Number one, he could have stolen second. Now, maybe he doesn't, because a few games earlier, it was surprising to me that Acuna was used as a pinch runner and never stole a base. But even if he doesn't steal a base, because it is risky, you give yourself speed on the base paths. So when Mark Vientos ropes a double into the right field corner, if Acuna is the base runner, which he needed to have been, the game is tied. Period. Stop. The game is tied. Now, instead, because Carlos Mendoza, for some freaking reason I can't understand, decided to use Acuna as a pinch hitter, he only has, let me look at his bench. He's got Jared Young, he's got Ronnie Mauricio, and he's got Hayden Sanger. Now, if you want to tell me, well, Jared Young and Ronnie Mauricio are faster than Pete Alonso, fine. They are. Pete's slow. But it's not that big of an upgrade. Ronnie Mauricio isn't fast. At least I haven't seen him play fast. You could give me whatever base running metric you want to use. Sprint speed isn't the best indicator. I'm watching him with my eyes. He's faster than Pete. Not saying he isn't. I don't think it's that much faster. But here's the point. It's not about Ronnie Mauricio versus Pete Alonso or Ronnie Mauricio versus Jared Young versus Pete Alonso. Here's what it's about. If Mendy used his bench correctly, we're not having this discussion because Acuna pinch runs for Pete. And so when Mark Vientos rips the double, the game is tied. Instead, Ronnie Mauricio got a terrible read on that ball that was hit into the right field corner. And then we're watching him. It appeared like he was loafing. I don't think he was loafing. I just think he knew I had no chance to score. So I'm going to stop at third base. And here's how you know if you're a real Met fan or not. And I don't usually like to say it, but here's how you know if you're a real Met fan. If you watch this game, and as soon as Mauricio stopped at third base because of his terrible read, you knew they were effed. You knew it. Real Met fans knew it. If you're just having a good time on a Monday night, it's baseball, not really in the mood to watch Vikings Bears, then maybe you thought something different. But you knew that that missed opportunity, the missed opportunity of Mauricio getting a bad read, the missed opportunity of not using the guy who should have been the pinch runner because you used him an inning earlier to pinch it, you knew it screwed him. Now, could Jeff McNeil have made contact? Of course he could have. And he almost did. He came very close to ripping a double that would have given them the lead. And it was a tough at-bat. And he fell victim to one of the better closers in baseball in Yoan Duran. And then Francisco Alvarez comes up. And again, there is not a person breathing that thought for a second Francisco Alvarez was coming through. Not a person breathing. Especially when that first pitch off speed was waved at. As soon as he waved at it as meekly as he did, the only question was, how many pitches will it take for Duran to strike him out? And I would argue, and this may sound like hyperbole, I don't think it is, that Francisco Alvarez at-bat in the ninth inning against Duran was the worst at-bat of the season. I have not seen an at-bat that was worse than the crap Alvarez put out there in the ninth inning. And that's how you lose a painful baseball game. You lose a painful baseball game because your manager doesn't know how to use his bench. You lose a painful baseball game because the $765 billion man comes up in a huge spot in the eighth inning. And he made good contact, but he grounded out. You lose a game painfully when Brett Beatty, who did get on base twice, gets picked off. Picked off with Soto up in the fifth inning. Cannot happen. Cannot happen. That kind of stupid baseball is why you lose a game 1-0. It's exactly why you lose a game 1-0. And look, Nolan McClain, we've barely said his name. Again, I think Nolan McClain gave you reason to believe. Gave you every reason to believe he's got a chance to be a stud in this league. He runs into trouble in the second inning. It could have been worse. He gets through it after giving up the base hit to Nick Castellanos. And he got helped out by Bader making it out on the base paths. No question about it. He gets through the third. He gets through the fourth in trouble. Another out made on the base paths. A caught stealing of Harrison Bader. So he made two outs on the base paths. And Nolan McClain wasn't the greatest, but he got into the sixth inning. He only allowed one run. He was fine. And the bullpen did a great job. You know, Gregory Soto comes in. I wasn't sure what to expect from Soto. Comes in with a runner on, one out in the sixth inning. Boom, gets two outs in a row. Brooks Raley, who outside of one bad outing against the Mariners, has been one of their most reliable relievers, 1-2-3 inning. So the bullpen did a great job. They played good defense, getting outs on the bases. But this offense, led by dumb decisions like caught stealings by Brett Beatty, led by the stars doing nothing as Soto and Lindor went a combined 0-for-7 with two walks, the missed opportunities in the ninth inning, and you add it all up, and you have a 1-0 loss. You know what this reminds me of? Do you remember the Braves series earlier this year? The Mets had a lead in game one. They had a 5-run lead, I think it was. They blew it. And then after that, it was non-competitive. The 1-0 game feels like the one shot the Mets had in Philly, and now they're going to get swept. And if they get swept, I totally get the Hoffs of the world and everyone else in my email saying Mets are going to miss the playoffs. I get it. I'm not saying you guys are crazy for thinking it. I'm just saying I'm not fully believing this is going to be a complete collapse. But I do think this week is going to get worse before it gets better. That's how I'd phrase it. Like Clay Holmes against Christopher Sanchez. Do I have confidence? David Peterson against Jesus Luzardo? Maybe a little bit on Thursday. Like, I think this is going to get worse. And then I think they'll have a good weekend. That's what I think. I mean, isn't that the story of the Mets? They're a garbage road team. For whatever reason, they have 10 games under 500 on the road. Meanwhile, at home, they're 18 games above 500. So the negative side of me says this week will get worse. Prepare for it. But the positive side says things will get better. And you know how it's going to get better? I'll give you a little long-term prediction. We'll have some Ricos before we get to this. The Met offense is going to continue to struggle. They're not going to hit in Philly. I mean, think about what they've done in this series. They get shut out in 9 innings in game one. They get shut out over the first 6 innings in game two, and they put up single runs in the 7th, 8th, and 9th once the game was pretty much out of hand, specifically in the 8th and 9th inning. They will continue to not hit in Philly. And you know when their offense is going to break out of it, Pete? Oh, I have an idea. The Met offense is going to break out of it on Friday night against Jacob DeGrom. That's what I can see happening.
That's what you think?
Yeah.
Out of all the things that I dude, I'm sorry. Like that, well wishes, that'd be great. A nice little payback, but no chance. He's going to shut them down.
You think so?
Oh, no question. Jake returning home. Place I don't think it's amazing. Come on.
I don't think DeGrom has an Aaron Rodgers vibe to him. Like this is Aaron Rodgers' Super Bowl was beating the Jets. And he made it very obvious. Like he wanted to stick it to the Jets. I don't think Jake wants to stick it to us. I really don't. I think it was purely as much as I brought up, hey, the Mets didn't really make him a big offer. I don't think it's a personal thing. I think DeGrom probably preferred, you know, the long-term contract, the small town vibes of Texas. I think he's happy there. And so for that reason, I don't think he's bitter against. I don't think he's out there to stick it to the Mets. I really don't.
No, I don't think he's out there to stick it to the Mets. What I do think, though, is they're in a playoff race, playoff hunt, and he needs to pitch as well as possible. He needs to go out there and put up zeros. So he's going to do that.
He hasn't been that great lately, by the way. Just pointing that out.
I did see the last game versus Houston where I was like, oh, maybe I do have a chance of coming back and beating you in fantasy baseball.
Oh, that's right. You were watching DeGrom start because he's on my fantasy team. That's right. look, it's troubling right now. It's troubling. I am not going to haul for Frank the Tank this thing and tell you they're going to lose every game the rest of the season, but it's tough to trust this team. This team has not earned our trust because they haven't played well for months, and they need to play well. Because if they don't, they are now flirting with disaster of blowing this wild card lead with the San Francisco Giants and the Cincinnati Reds breathing down their neck. Now, a bunch of other news and notes I do want to get to. Number one, Tylor Megill was shut down. I guess his last few rehab performances were kind of the red flag because they were trying to work him up, and I don't think he was ever going to join the rotation. I think he could have been just another option. Like if Justin Hagenman is on this team, the Mets could have certainly used a Tylor Megill, but his last few performances, especially his last one, was really, really bad. So they shut down Tylor Megill. You could forget about him as an arm option to come back and help this team. Though they do have a lot of arms they could recall. Waskar Brazoban could come back. Kodai Senga can come back. And speaking of Senga, he's going to pitch either Friday or Saturday in Syracuse. So they gave him a long respite. They've been working with him. I really do think one good start by Senga in AAA and he'll come back. I think that's what they told him. And I think, as Mendy even said in the postgame, the Mets can be creative with their rotation and with their pitching. And I think they will be. I think we're going to start to see tag teams before this season is over. I think Senga will be on his way back, assuming he can pitch well this weekend.
He also gave clarification that Manaea is still in the rotation.
Yeah. Well, he made very clear there was never even a thought, it didn't sound like, to pulling Sean Manaea. I think what we could see, if, because remember about the timing on this thing, Manaea pitched on Tuesday. So his next start would be the following Tuesday against San Diego. Senga's not pitching on Friday, Saturday. So Senga's return wouldn't happen until the following week when they're playing the Nationals, potentially. So if Manaea struggles in his next start, or he pitches well, but by the fourth or fifth inning, you kind of see him running out of gas, I think Manaea and Senga could be a part of a tag team. Same thing with Clay Holmes. So that's not something that's going to happen in the next week. I think it happens if Kodai Senga can pitch well in his next rehab start. I think Tong and Sproat deserve regular starts, and Nolan McClain, obviously, and they will. They both have starts coming up. Tong will be Friday night against Texas. Sproat will be Saturday against Texas. The other thing is Luis Torrens. The Luis Torrens injury really sucks. And it doesn't feel major. It doesn't feel like he's going to miss an extended period of time. But with the way Francisco Alvarez looks, you know, Beningo said this when he popped on Evan and Tiki the other day. I like Torrens. Well, I've even said it when Alvarez came back. If Alvarez doesn't hit enough, Luis Torrens may be a better option at catcher. Now, Alvarez did have a double on his last at bat. We'll see if he can build off of that. But right now, Alvarez has to play every day. I mean, you want to give Hayden Senga a start here and there, I guess. But losing Luis Torrens, especially with Alvarez's struggle since coming off the IL, a negative. And then Jose Siri. Look, right now, the Mets have so many guys who are not playing well that I'm not sure how things should be aligned. So let's openly discuss this. The obvious stuff like Alonso, Soto, Nimmo, Lindor, obviously they're playing. But right now, who should the center fielder be? Should it be Cedric Mullins? No. Should it be Jose Siri, who, let's not forget, was hitting 050 before he got hurt? I mean, I guess I give him a shot. And he did strike out in his first two at-bats. The second one in a big spot with two on and two out in the fifth inning. But the other option is McNeil. And if you play McNeil in center field, which I have been espousing, who is your second baseman? Is it Beatty with Vientos at third? And then your DH is whom? Starling Marte, who all of a sudden has gone ice cold? Do you use Acuna? Now, here's why I don't want to use Acuna. I get his defense, but what did we say 10, 15 minutes ago? Part of his use is as speed off the bench. Well, you eliminate that if you're playing him at second base. In fact, you're going to end up pinch hitting for him late in games because you want more offense. So right now, I'm kind of mixed. Like, I'll give Siri a few more games, especially with the lefties on the mound. But Starling Marte, I need a break from watching. I got to tell you, he's been so bad the last few days. So there isn't an obvious answer. And with the lefties on the mound, Ronnie Mauricio isn't going to get a new opportunity because God knows I hit right-handed as well as he does. And by the way, I'm a terrible hitter and I'm a lefty. So that's all you need to know. But how would you line it up? Who would be the guy you're getting in the lineup right now, Pete?
I mean, I'm not playing Siri. I'm sorry, even his defense is not as good as McNeil's. You saw that in the outfield. A ball goes over his head. Looks like he could play it, and he just can't. I put McNeil there, and this might sound crazy. Call up Joey Meneses. Get somebody else who maybe wants to do something for – you know what, though? At this point in time, give me somebody that wants to play freaking
Carson Bedge. Let's call up our top center field prospect. Let's go for it.
Okay. But some sort of spark needs to be put into this team. And Siri, I know it seems like there was a spark there. He seems exciting, but he's too sloppy. I'm sorry. And his offense is you saw his batting average is usually somewhere under 200. It's too much swing and miss stuff right now. This team needs contact.
Yeah, I don't think that right now calling anybody up is the answer. I think Ronnie Mauricio makes sense as a, hey, he's been up here. He's had his moments. I just think right now over the next 2 days is going to be tough because the lefty's on the mound. Like, he is such a bad right-hand hitter that I don't think he's an option until Friday. I think on Friday you can consider him. I'll tell you something crazy. Cedric Mullins stinks, and I'm sick of looking at him too, but he actually hits lefties. Like, he had reverse splits this season. So we'll see if Carlos gets him in one of these lineups. But hey, you could knock one out of the park and raise the apple with Takara Chuhai, a sparkling cocktail that blends real shochu spirits with the delicious flavors of fruits locally grown in Japan. Available at Citi Field and Fuji Apple, of course, white peach and lemon. So next 2 days, Clay Holmes on the mound, David Peterson on the mound, and then the weekend against the Rangers is rookie weekend. How cool is that? Tong Friday, Sprout Saturday, and big Nolan McLain on Sunday to wrap it all up against the Texas Rangers, who, by the way, basically have the same record as the New York Mets. Ah, what a time to be alive. Let me read a few more of your emails. There's so many when things are bad. So true.
Is anybody positive?
Let's see. Is there anyone who's positive?
Is there a positive Tommy alert?
The boy genius, David Stearns, got dog walked by Buster Posey. Sad to see. I'll hang up and listen. We need a Rico therapy tonight. Well, hopefully this sufficed. How many more freaking times is Harrison Bader going to hit against the Mets? I'm not saying having him back on the Mets this year would have saved the season, but makes you question why the Mets didn't try to get him instead of Cedric 0-for-26 Mullins. Ralph writes, Evan and Pete, if we don't make the playoffs, it's because the manager overthought every situation and it cost us this season. Horrible substitutions in game one versus the Phillies. You need to save Acuna and let him steal a base. Two games in a row, we didn't score on what should have been game-tying RBIs. What are we doing? I have lost all faith that we'll make the playoffs. Let's go with the kids and double up the rest of their starts this week. So far, I'm getting all negative. David writes, no end in sight. Evan, been listening to you forever. I just watched Kyle Schwarber hit his 50th and putting an unofficial end to this game. The Mets are back to not hitting and truly are a team with no heart. If they somehow make to the playoffs, they will be exited quickly. The exit quickly thing bothers me. Like, do we? It's effing a 3-game series. Come on now. Jose writes, the Mets don't deserve to make the postseason. They haven't been a good team for a while now, and Stearns needs some humble thinking he's smarter than everyone else and bringing in a bunch of bums to fill out his roster. Sean writes, one of the most pathetic and disgraceful teams in terms of folding up when the lights are brightest. Truly a disgraceful, disappointing loser team. It's going to be a massive wake-up call to everyone when this team misses the playoffs, and I hope not one player, coach, or executive is spared. Complete disaster and joke of a season. Yeah, I got all negatives.
That's disappointing. That's disappointing because I thought that Tommy would at least try to insert himself here. Was he positive yesterday on the or today on the Rico or not the Rico, but on your radio show?
Every time he tried to be, I cut him off.
Good job by you.
Now he's always positive. Actually, I got to give positive Tommy credit about something. So usually when the Mets lose a horrible game and he puts out one of these ridiculous tweets, I laugh at it. It's like comic relief. But I actually thought what he tweeted, it really channeled me. So I'm going to take credit for it. And if you hate it, you can blame me. He put out a tweet that is so accurate. And maybe this isn't the timing for it, but I'm going to read it to you because this would be something that comes out of my mouth because I've said it a million times about Major League Baseball in 2025. So I commend my excellent executive producer, Positive Tommy. I think he said the exact right thing after this loss. You ready?
Yeah.
In 2023, the Texas Rangers had a 4-16 stretch in late August to early September. They were a wild card team. They won the World Series. Anything can happen in baseball. Stay positive. Now, the stay positive stuff, whatever, but it is true. And that's why when I read an email like the one I just read about, they're going to get knocked out even if they did make the playoffs. I mean, phooey. Like, I get it. They've been a bad team for a while or a mediocre team for a while. But in the postseason, it is a different animal. Juan Soto has won a championship. Francisco Lindor has gotten his team to the 7th game of the World Series. And oh yeah, the off days, which are all over the postseason, could benefit the Mets. And in a short series, the first one is a very short series, you could double up and triple up your starting pitchers. So I don't believe that their failures in the regular season mean they can't win a best of three or a best of five. I don't buy it at all. And that's why I open this Rico by reminding everybody, there's nothing you can do or we can say about the fact that this regular season has been a failure. It is. They're going to be, if they make the playoffs, a third wild card team who's going to win fewer games than most of us thought. It's over. It's a failure. Now you just make the playoffs and get hot at the right time because you can rewrite your script by a good October. The 2022 Philadelphia Phillies finished in third place. They tried to choke a playoff spot away, and no one remembers that because they got hot at the right time. So I'll join in on the negativity. I'll call the team out when they need to be called out. I'll criticize what I'll criticize. But do not tell me, because it bothers me, that a team, including this one, can't get hot in October. Because this format's only been around for a couple of years, and I've already got plenty of examples. So I don't want to hear it. So he's actually right about that.
And I'll double down on that too. Like, it, for the last emailer that was like, hey, I hope they miss the playoffs so that, you know, whatever, they don't deserve. I got to be honest. Like, no, the Mets, I want them to always make the playoffs. I want them to be in the mix every time.
Because you never know.
Yeah. So this is not the Yankees garbage where people are like, oh, we win too much, but then we're stagnant. Let's blow it all up. Let's miss the playoffs. Guess what? The Yankees like what they're doing. The Mets think that they're doing the right thing. David Stearns thinks he's doing the right thing. They cannot miss the playoffs. Honestly, they can't miss the playoffs. Otherwise, this is all going to be a bad, bad offseason from the fans to basically ownership. But that being said, my biggest gripe is last year where I was total opposite. I was, this team has what it takes to come back and win, because once the end of May hit, they showed you week after week, yeah, game after game, that they can beat these teams. They have that fight in them. I haven't seen it since April.
Well, it's very, very funny. They are the opposite of last year. Last year, it took them so long to overcome the bad start to the year. And it took a while to just say, hey, you know what? Since May 28th, they're the best team in the National League. Took us a while to believe it. And it took so long for them to make up for the ground that they put themselves in that they didn't make the playoffs till game 161. This year, they got off to a great start. And all that political capital that they built over the first few months of the year, they've slowly let wilt away. But the facts are, since the middle of June, they've been bad. Kind of like the opposite of last year. Now, I hope it doesn't get completed like last year, where they just missed the playoffs. But it is weird, as we've sat through most of this season now. We're like 90% of the way through with only 17 games to go. And it does feel like the complete opposite of what we witnessed last season. We will have a Rico Bronya after this series concludes. It will conclude Thursday night. So whether it's live on the WF fan page on YouTube or wherever you download your podcast, you will get a series recap Rico Bronya. And depending on what happens in game three, who knows? Maybe we'll give you another instant reaction before that. But like we always say, you can always trust or rely on a Rico Bronya when the series is over. But right now, things suck. And there's no sugarcoating it. Things suck. And we now live in a world in which, while I don't think the Mets are going to miss the playoffs, they certainly can. It's certainly possible. Thank you very much for commiserating with us and hanging out with us on a depressing edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit SmileGeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.